Hi, everybody. This is Nick Grove, CEO of City Trivia. We hope you're staying as happy and healthy as is possible in this day and age. In the middle of March, City Trivia ceased business operations. Although we're technically shut down, we know now more than ever, fun and entertainment are needed. May you use this useless trivia knowledge to impress on your Zoom video conferences. At this point, we're going to start publishing regular We Don't Know Either podcast episodes again. You can play live trivia nightly at the We Don't Know Either Live Facebook group. And we're also offering virtual private events as well. Email us at privateevents@districttrivia.com for more information. This next episode was recorded prior to the shutdowns, so please sit back, relax, and enjoy. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 368 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Michael.
I'm Bailey.
I'm Andrew.
Are you sure about that, Bailey?
I don't know. Give me a minute.
What was the hesitancy with your name? You're just
nervous? I don't know. Me and Andrew started talking at the same time, and I was like, I don't want...
Well, no, it's okay. We're happy that you both are here. We also are happy that both of you will talk one at a time. That's good. That's fun. Thanks. So, Bailey, why don't you kick us off with your interesting fact? We're going to get right into it. For those of you listening for the first time, we're all going to guess. You are going to laugh at me and my terrible guess and then feel really confident when you get it because you're smarter than me.
Playing along with us.
Yeah. All right. So, Bailey, what is that fact?
All right. We're going to do some science trivia.
Oh, boy.
All right.
I'm out.
You'd be surprised. You might actually know this one. So here we go. While the surface of our sun is around 6,000 degrees Kelvin, which other part of the sun is measured to be over 1 million degrees Kelvin? And I'll give you a hint. It is not the core that I'm talking about.
Okay.
Oh, okay. What parts of the sun you're saying?
Yeah. So there is different parts of the sun, you know. Just like the Earth has an atmosphere,
ionosphere. We don't. Tell us
more.
Oh,
no, we don't? Okay. So the sun has several features, obviously. The photosphere is the part that you actually see, the physical delineation between, you know, space and the sun. Mm-hmm. Then you have the corona, which is sort of like the halo-y part around the sun that you can kind of see during total eclipses.
I do enjoy corona.
Yes, and I know it's very topical with the coronavirus going around. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you have the core, and then you have the various layers between the photosphere and the core.
Mm. I'm going to take a random shot in the dark. Hey.
Hey, yo, I get it.
Boo.
Is a solar flare?
No, actually, that's about the same temperature as the surface. Okay.
I'm happy you guessed that because I was going to guess that, but now you get to be wrong first.
I was also thinking solar flare, so...
So basically the three of us who don't know anything about the sun, we're all guessing the one thing that we know kind of about the sun.
Okay.
I'm happy to take that hit for the team.
But in our defense, if you're talking elementary or middle school science when you're talking about suns and parts of the suns, the solar flare was the coolest part.
Yeah.
Like, I would name that a sports team and it would, our colors would be like yellow and orange and be solar flare and then our saying would be like, flare up! I got a whole vision for this.
I mean, I think the coolest part about the sun is the sunglasses that you draw on the sun when you put it in the top left corner of when you draw anything.
Just a little, yeah.
I mean, that's obviously the coolest part of the sun.
Why, when we draw sunglasses on suns, do we always make them the exact same shape?
I don't know, but this is... Someone needs to write like a psychology study.
Because Ray-Bans are that good at marketing.
Also, why does the sun need its own sunglasses? Is blinding itself? Is there a mirror that we just don't know about? I don't know.
I'd like to say the mirror is the hottest thing in the answer to your question. Okay.
I'm going to go with sunglasses. I'm going to go with the sunglasses.
All right.
Okay. Other parts of the sun. I mean, obviously, the core would be my initial guess, right? Because isn't that the hottest part of the Earth?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is the hottest part of the Earth, is the core.
But it's obviously
different.
Have you been
to Death Valley?
Yeah, right.
Well, but obviously the sun is very different in the sense that it's a star and not a planet. I get those differing things. But again, core is just where my mind keeps going back to, if not for solar flare. So I liked photosphere. I like that one. I'll lock in photosphere.
Okay. So oddly enough, it is the corona that is actually the hottest part of the sun. I might be mistaken. I don't know if it's hotter than the core. I think it might be, although, you know, all my NASA friends might correct me on this later on. But yeah, it's actually one of the unsolved mysteries in physics as to why the corona is hotter than the surface of the sun, because it's actually several million miles away from the quote unquote surface.
Why don't we
of
just
the sun.
Take a ship and go look?
I know, right? We totally
well,
could.
We can go at night. I mean, it'll be fine.
Yeah, it's dark when it's night. You know, the sun kind of turns off and stuff.
Does the sun
I'm
wear
hearing
sunglasses
your NASA
at
friends
night?
Explode. Yeah, right? I'm hearing their heads explode.
But yeah, it's one of the weird things. That's why you can't actually get to the surface of the sun, because you will get vaporized before you ever even get there, because it's, you know, like a million degrees and stuff.
Sure.
Is the corona, is that made of specific types of gas or plasma? Or what is the corona itself?
It's mostly lime, hops, and yeast.
And refreshing.
Exactly. It's all just heated gas and photons and stuff like that. It's just super hot, mega radiation or radioactive material. So
heated gas. Nick's not on the podcast this week.
Hey.
I'm bringing the heat today.
Cool. All right. So the corona, the hottest part of the sun and a mystery. I was going to ask, why was it the hottest part? But
we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know either.
Exactly.
We'll give you an update, though, on the show once we figure that out.
Yes.
Definitely. We are the people here to solve
we got
the
this.
Big physics questions.
On episode 5007, we will figure it out.
Yeah. Okay, so Hugh's got a segue from the hottest part of the sun to their fact.
Not I.
So I've been told solar flares at times. So one of the reasons I thought solar flares was I've been told they will interrupt like radio transmissions and television transmissions.
That is very true. It's because you get charged particles launched outside. Like you'll actually get supercharged particles. So it's really more of the type of radiation that reaches the planet. And the fact that it can't, our magnetosphere cannot deflect them, so it'll disrupt some of the stuff. You'll get like electrical induction and stuff like that, and it'll fry a lot of electronics and satellites.
Okay, but that's why it affects television stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, it's just a lot of charged particles getting launched.
My fact has to do with television.
Hey, there we go.
Well done, Michael. I'm impressed.
So this is one of those standard trivia questions. Everybody just tends to know it. Of the 20 most watched broadcast televisions, television broadcasts in the United States, 19 are Super Bowls. Now, the standard trivia question is,
yeah, what's the one?
What's the other one?
Mm-hmm. The moon landing.
It is not the moon landing. It was a television show.
So it's a show.
The finale of MASH.
That is correct.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So,
Sorry, I thought you meant event.
So my question is, though, where does that rank?
Oh. Mm.
So because it's one of those standard trivia facts, and I was thinking about it going like, okay, wait, where does it rank?
So this is out of the top 20.
So top 20 of most watched television broadcast. Everything on this list is north of 90 million people watched it live.
This is not yet counting the upcoming Friends reunion on HBO.
Very true. As I understand, it's just going to be streaming. It's on HBO Max, so I don't know if they're going to broadcast it or not.
Whoa. Lame. Okay. So where does it rank on the list? I don't think that it was number one. I feel pretty confident saying that. So I'm going to say number 8 on the list.
Okay.
So top 20, guess one. I'm going to go with 13th, lucky 13.
All right.
I'll sort of split the difference here. I think that y'all are both sort of in the right mindset going in the middle. So I'll say number 11.
All right. Lindsay is closest at number 9.
Ooh.
It's 105.9 million people watched the series finale, Goodbye, Farewell, and Ant-Man.
That was like half the country at the time, wasn't it?
Probably. It was 1983 was when it aired on television. It is also the 20 thing, it is the oldest thing on the list.
Oh.
Followed by, I think, one of the Super Bowls in the 1986 Super Bowl. But only 92 million people watched that. I'm a big fan of MASH, personally. What I know, too, it wasn't a half-hour special. They actually, the series finale was a 2.5-hour television movie. So 2.5 hours and 105 million people watched it.
It's captivating.
It was pretty crazy, and I was reading somewhere. I'm going to try to verify this, but there was a spike in water usage as soon as the show came down.
Because everyone had to go pee.
That's exactly what it was. Is that the consensus was everybody was staying and watching the show, and then as soon as it spiked, like, I think a couple million gallons.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
So I'm going to try to find some way to verify that, and if so, I'll drop it into the link down below.
Well, they didn't have DVR, so it's not like you could rewind it and watch anyway. You had
exactly.
to be stuck to your television set.
That's right. It was a hellscape in 1983.
Yeah.
With DVR.
Oh, my gosh. And I appreciate you remotes. This is a remote appreciation shout-out. Thank you. Thank you for letting me continue to sit. Sometimes you're a little bit out of my reach on the couch, but I'll forgive you. I actually have a really good segue from yours, Michael.
All right.
If you're talking about television, you're also talking about movies, right? They're both things that you watch, consume, people, places, things.
Visual media.
I would have. Yeah. It was a television movie.
True.
That is. It is a trailer. That's a better segue.
I thought
television
so.
Movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking about specifically about the movies. A couple, you know, a month ago we had the Oscars and also the Razzie Awards, and this is where my fact meets the intersection of those two things. Pretty famously, in 2010, Sandra Bullock won both an Oscar and a Razzie on the same weekend, and she was one of the few people that actually went to the Razzie Awards and accepted her award, which is a
good
big
deal.
Yeah, their whole big thing is own the bad, and she did that, so good for you.
Yeah, you gotta respect
good for
that.
You. Yeah, so I was curious to see if there was anybody that had been nominated for an Oscar or nominated for a Razzie at the same time or for the same thing, right?
Oh.
So there has been somebody, and there's been a specific woman that's done it twice. Not for being an actor or an actress. She's a songwriter. And so she was nominated for Best Original Song and Worst Original Song. So Worst Original Song at the Razzies and Best Original Song at the Oscars. And it happened to her twice. It's happened to three total songs, but this particular songwriter for three songs. Or for two songs out of the three. So my question to you boys, what were those songs? Oof, I can give you some more hints. Yeah, I want to know the songs. So these are songs that have been nominated for the Best Original Song at the Oscars and Worst Original Song at the Razzies. So go.
Wow.
Oh, man.
I can narrow down a type of movie if that would be helpful.
Sure, why not?
I have a guess on that. Is it animated movies?
They're not animated movies. These are both live action films.
Okay, then that eliminates my guess. I was going to say Idina Menzel with Let It Go.
Great guess, but no. This was also in the late 90s.
Okay.
Late 90s. So best original song, worst original song. And they're both action movies. So I was trying to find something in your guys' wheelhouses,
sure.
And I felt like 90s action movies might be it.
And it's a female singer?
No, so this is the songwriter.
Oh, the songwriter.
The singers are...
varying.
Yeah. The one is definitely not a female singer.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay, so action movies in the late 90s. If
One is a female singer. One is a female singer. The other one is a band.
Okay, so it's the same songwriter but two different artists.
Correct.
Got it. Okay.
I'm feeling like a Bond movie has to be in here.
So that's what I was thinking, especially if there's a female singer for one.
The thing about the Bond movies are a lot, except for the opening number, a lot of those are scored by orchestra.
Hmm. But I feel like the opening numbers are pretty regularly nominated for...
Best original songs.
For best original songs.
Yeah, at least recently. I know Skyfall, Adele got an Academy Award nod for that, didn't she?
Yes, and I assume that the new one that's recorded by Billie Eilish will get nominated because it's Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish is doing the next Bond movie?
Yeah, it was just recorded or just came out last week.
Really? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And late 90s were, that was still Pierce Brosnan era.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Those were bad.
I think I think Madonna did one. I want to say maybe Die Another Day.
Oh, I think you're right, actually. Yeah, she did do one. I think that's a good guess.
But she wouldn't
go with that.
She wouldn't have written. Yeah, but
she wouldn't have written
But if we're going to the song,
So I'm gonna say, and then the one that jumps to my mind that feel like it would fit is I Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith for Armageddon. Am I right on that one?
That's correct.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Was that for a Razzie or for
they're both.
Academy, that's one.
Yeah, so it's both. That's the question, right?
It was the same song?
Yes.
The same song gets nominated for both.
Yeah, so the same song.
I missed that part.
Yeah, so same song for best original song for the Oscars and worst original song at the Razzies. I Don't Want to Miss a Thing in Armageddon was just that thing written by Diane Warren. And so that was also Aerosmith's only number one hit to date. So that's kind of another bonus fun I Don't Want to Miss a Thing fact. But that song is one that people either love it or hate it. And I think that that's perfectly represented by having both an Oscar and Razzie, which it didn't win either for the record.
Right.
It was just nominated. So the other song, this one's a little bit tough.
Okay. Yeah, this one was a tough one.
This is a tough one. I would say that it is a female artist. And the movie, I will give you a hint, stars Nicolas Cage.
Ooh.
A late 90s action movie starring the Nicolas Cage.
Were there any songs in The Rock?
That's exactly what I was just thinking.
Connery crooning over the...
I will say that this movie featuring Nick Cage, he wears a white tank top, and he's got long hair.
Con Air.
Yeah, so what's the song from Con Air?
I have no effing clue.
Give me a second. It's
It's by Leanne Rimes.
It is.
Ooh.
God, it's one of those cable movies that when I'm flipping through the channels when I have cable, when I'm flipping through the channels and it's on, it doesn't matter. I've never seen the beginning of it.
I've never seen the whole thing from start to finish, right, for sure.
It's also one of those movies you own on DVD but never watch, but we'll watch it when it's on TV.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
I love Conan.
What was the Leanne Rimes...
It was How Do I Live?
Okay.
How Do I Live from Con Air, nominated for Best Original Song and nominated for Worst Original Song. Both of these were written by Diane Warren, so only three songs had that honor, and she I'm using that in quotes, and she wrote two of them. But she's really prolific in terms of songwriting. She's the first songwriter to have seven simultaneous songs on the Billboard Hot 100 that she wrote, which is pretty incredible. She's at 11 Academy Award nominations. She's won a Grammy, a Tony, Golden Globe. She's written over 1,000 songs and makes like $20 million in royalties a year, 90 Billboard Top 10 hits.
Jesus. Is she an EGOT too? She get that Emmy?
She did get an Emmy, yes, all but right. She hasn't gotten the Oscar yet. She's just been nominated.
She's 11
times.
Nominations and zero wins.
Wow.
Yep, so far. But
that's
hey,
a bummer.
That's Leonardo DiCaprio numbers right there.
Right? Seriously.
But we believe in you, Diane. As you know, when you become a fact on the We Don't Know Either podcast, good things happen to you.
Right. That's how you know she's made it big.
It's the We Don't Know Either bump, really.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
The path to glory.
Out of curiosity, what was the third song?
The third song, great question, was from That's Life in 1986, Life in a Looking Glass.
Never even heard of that.
So, missed that one.
Yeah. Tony Bennett, I believe. So there you go.
All right.
All right.
Well, speaking of glory, my question is, what type of animal was Wojtek, a soldier in the Polish Armed Forces who was promoted to corporal for his distinguished service at the Battle of Monte Cassino in 1944.
For those of you that can't see the audio podcast, Bailey just got very excited.
I know this. I've read about this.
Bailey is familiar with Wojtek's work.
I am. He was a bear. He was an artillery loading bear. They trained him to take shells and put them in artillery and like carry them around because they were hundreds of pounds each. And he's a freaking bear, so he can carry a lot of weight.
This is correct.
Yeah.
Wojtek was a Syrian brown bear.
Yeah.
My mental picture of this is amazing.
I know, right?
There are real pictures of it that are also amazing.
Yeah, I think they trained him to drink vodka and stuff like that, too, because that's what Polish people do.
So they try to train him to smoke cigarettes, but he just ate the cigarettes instead. But yeah, he would drink beer with them. And like, so basically, they found him in Iran. They bought him. And then they were trying to take a ship from... at the time, British Palestine to Italy, but the laws or rules or whatever for the British military said that they couldn't bring a mascot or a pet, so they just registered him as a soldier. So he was Private Wojtek, the Syrian brown bear. But yes, he carried artillery shells, and you know, sort of distinguished himself at this really important battle in World War II, so they promoted him to corporal. And now there's a statue of him in, like, Scotland.
Edinburgh Zoo.
Yeah, so...
I just found the... It's him with an artillery shell, and I'm very happy.
Right? I think the actual regiment, that artillery, like, division, it's their logo now.
It is.
Yeah, it's like him carrying a shell.
Why would it be anything else?
I know, right? That's pretty badass. I'm not going to lie. That's great.
Oh, it's very cool. Wojtek, also the Wikipedia page for Wojtek is Wojtek parentheses bear, which will never not make me laugh.
Well, that's going to be your secret phrase, parentheses bear.
Parentheses bear.
Parentheses bear is going to be your secret phrase. The problem is that I always pick these secret phrases and then wish that I could name them the title of the episode as well, just because I like that. Parentheses bear.
Here's the hilarious thing. Imagine if you're Wojtek, the somebody else, and then every time you click on your Wikipedia page, did you mean Wojtek the bear?
This stupid bear keeps beating me.
I checked. There's no Wikipedia page. It's like a Wojtek parentheses guy.
Wojtek human.
Yeah. I'm just picturing other animals that I would want to have in an army, and we've talked about like the pigeons before and like the bomb dropping bats, but I feel like the bear from an intimidation factor would definitely be at the top of the list. I feel like snakes are kind of underutilized from a military perspective.
Can you train snakes?
No, but
sure,
you can.
Sure, yeah, I mean,
catapult
snake
them.
Charmers.
I don't know if you've heard of this thing called a trebuchet. But
trebuchet, sure.
Yeah, it's kind of, you could like launch, I'm picturing like World War I trench warfare.
Snake
they get
bombs.
A trebuchet of snakes and just whew. But, you know, I haven't been in charge of an army, but hey,
I think
you need one.
I think that's against the Geneva Conventions. No snakes allowed.
Oh, I thought
I'm
you said
kidding.
no trebuchets and no snakes. Which one are you? You're allowed snakes, but no trebuchets.
Exactly. There are three rules. I want to launch snakes. There are four rules.
I'm going to get an angry email from PETA or something. I'm not advocating any sort of harm to the snakes. They've obviously been trained to aerodynamically make their way through the air at top speed. No harms to them. No harm done to them, just to be clear.
City Trivia does not advocate the launching of snakes for use in warfare or any other means.
But for fun, so, yes.
So going back, though, parentheses bear.
Yes, parentheses bear is your secret phrase. You do not have to spell parentheses correctly. You can just write out the little symbol if you want.
For the purposes of the notes that we take during, I did not. So.
Well, yeah, spelling is hard.
Spelling is hard.
As I tell all the people that do play trivia with me, if spelling counted, no one would ever get any points ever.
Right.
And people always cheer that. So it relates to me at a very, very core level. Andrew, same question to you. What animal would you use as a means of warfare?
I mean, now that I have like the image of Wojtek the bear, it's hard for me to think of mm-hmm. anything besides mm-hmm. a bear. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Something like a mountain lion would, I feel like, would be pretty mm-hmm. useful.
A puma?
You know, they're quiet assassins, but pretty strong. But I mean, I think the polls got it right. Just a bear named Wojtek,
right?
Yeah. Bailey, same question.
I feel like horses were pretty useful back in the day.
Yeah, I guess we all kind of just skipped over the actual important animal, donkeys and things. But yeah, no, horses were very, very important in all of military history. So,
but if we're going to go with a non-equine creature, let's see. That's a good one. Obviously, the large cat was a solid answer that would ruin somebody's day without question.
Bees?
that's a decent one. A bunch of train attack hornets.
Yeah. Michael Crichton's book was very good on that. So with the nanotechnology. But anyway, I want to hear your answer.
I'm going to go ahead and go with a moose.
Ooh.
The Canadian moose.
Yeah. I love that. Oh, yes, a battle moose.
8 foot, 1,500 pound creature bearing down on you. I would need brown pants.
The problem is, you see him coming with those big ass antlers.
I know, but still, what are you gonna do?
yeah,
it's a charging moose. All you can do is like run away.
And even then, you can't outrun it. They run very, very fast. Okay, cool. Well,
they don't look like they should. They're lanky animals.
I know. They look very, very awkward, but they are very, very mean.
They can run 35 miles per hour.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That is shockingly fast.
Yeah, very, very much so.
Moose was a good choice.
Yeah, I know. You're welcome, Canada.
Moose was a good choice. Okay, well, we're going to wrap up this episode of the We Don't Know Either podcast. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks, Bailey, for coming on the show. And this has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. Oh, yeah. Michael, thanks for existing, too. You're great. This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Michael.
I'm Andrew.
I'm Bailey. We got it right this time.
We did get it right, and we certainly don't know either. Bye.
See
you.